Joy to be with you again this morning. Look on the sunshine of another day. A gift of our great high priest, the Lord Jesus. By the way, Paris Reed will be preaching here next Sunday morning and evening. Do not miss it. Don't stay away. You need to hear from other people beside me, and you will need to hear the heart burden of this man who knows the Lord so well. For the mark, we'll look at last Sunday's message, please. I saw some of you come right down it now. Yeah, I saw some of you coming to take notes, and I didn't have the overhead last week. I had the outline of my sermon, but not in there, and bring it right down all the way if you want. Those of you who were not here, Christ has three offices in the New Testament: prophet, priest, and king. And we're looking at the office of priest. We understand the kingship and the lordship of Christ is strongly emphasized in the Word of God and in this pulpit. And so believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and our Lord is called Lord over 475 times in the New Testament. He's called Savior 18 times. That shows you where the Father puts the emphasis. We know about Christ the prophet. It deserves its own ministry. Christ speaking through us. We'll talk a little bit about that. And then we're looking today at Christ our high priest. And it's a little bit loud. If you take just a little bit off the PA system, please. Just a little bit. Thank you. Or whatever I'm hearing. Thank you. Then we find out that, with joy, that Christ is God's high priest and ours, and for three reasons. Because first, he's our mediator. We describe what a mediator is, a go-between. We saw people trying to find a go-between through the lives of Cain, Abel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Aaron, and culminated in the person of our Savior. But our Lord Jesus, all during his earthly ministry, all during his earthly life, was essentially in training for the priesthood. And everything he suffered and everything he endured was so that the Father could say to him, "Thou art a priest forever." And I've never demeaned, nor could we, the earthly ministry of our Savior. But all of his 33 years on earth was for training for his priesthood in heaven. He identifies with man in his nature, his temptations, his sin, and even in man's damnation. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? We went through that last week, and we're just catching up briefly here. He identifies perfectly with God in his nature, his faithfulness, his holiness, and his purposes. We're rejoicing that Christ is God's high priest and ours because of his present ministry of intercession. Our Lord Jesus now is totally occupied with prayer, asking and receiving from the Father. I repeat, the resurrected Christ spends all his time and is totally occupied with praying, asking, receiving now from the Father on our behalf. You think on that. And it's going to begin to affect our lives in a glorious way and build in great faith. Oh, it's marvelous. That our Lord's ministry of mediation and prayer from the throne is as important as his mediation and dying for us on the cross. That our Lord spends all his time now conveying to us by his asking, receiving ministry and relationship with the Father to give us now, through his prayer ministry, what he purchased for us through his death ministry on the cross. And the reason you have been saved and stay saved is because he's able to save them to the uttermost completely. Why? Because he ever lives to make intercession for them. And that the breath you just took is an answer to the Lord's prayer in heaven that you might be sustained. That everything you and I receive in this earth is an answer to the Father's hearing the Son's asking and granting it to him to give to us. He reigns by prayer. He sits to reign at the Father's right hand, and he reigns by his praying, his asking, receiving relationship with the Father. And that by the Spirit is communicated to us. And that he has now entered into this great prayer ministry that totally involves his entire time and strength. Marvelous, marvelous. whether he's asking, receiving for healing or fullness or whatever else. Now, praying is pretty important. In fact, you know, I'll take away the information calls that come to my house or this church office. Take away the information calls. And the next barrage of phone calls, and rightly so, are these that go something like this. Will you pray for so-and-so? So-and-so needs prayer. So-and-so needs prayer. We all need prayer. And the calls, we have a prayer chain. We have a prayer meeting. We have several prayer meetings. Hopefully, you're praying and going to be learning to pray more and more, that what I'm saying to you will be such an encouragement to your heart. It's being to mine. Such an encouragement to know how to pray and to pray that we may enter into this ministry with Jesus. Not by work and sweat, but by attachment to his life. We'll talk about it. And that's your background for last week. Christ, our mediator, his qualifications are perfect. Do you know anybody else that meets those qualifications? Who else can be your priest? Who else could be that kind of a pastor to you? Who else can go directly to the Father for you? Jesus died that he might have those qualifications. Only the people who can meet those qualifications qualify to be God's priest to you. I'm not that. Nobody else is. But he is. And now into his present ministry, all right? Thank you, Mark. We'll go on to the next aspect of our Lord's prayer life. Please turn to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through or to the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness and confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace. Those are all words of submission, all words of dependence, and all words of victory. That we might find mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this hour. Lord Jesus, I happily repeat again that unless you reveal, Lord, and I'm asking with joy and confidence that you reveal to the hearts of the people what I'm trying to say. Lord, the more spiritual the subject is, the more we must have your Spirit. The more, Lord, we depend on thee, Lord, that you'll take the reality of what we're trying to talk about and give the actuality to the heart of the listener. Lord, we're happily declaring that unless you do this, I might as well be reading from the Reader's Digest. Unless you do this, Lord, I might as well sit down. I'm asking with confidence, O Father, that as you have burdened my heart for this, that you'll enlighten the hearts of the hearers. Except the Lord preach a sermon, they labor in vain that preach it. Except the Lord hear a sermon, they labor in vain who listen. And Father, I ask that by the Holy Spirit, by the name of your Son's great, great holy ministry, I thank thee, Lord Jesus, you're praying for this service right now. I thank you, you're praying for this message tonight, this morning. I'm thanking thee, Lord Jesus, and trusting thee implicitly with no confidence in my experience or my vocabulary or any amount of training. It will not do it. It cannot avail. I'm asking for that divine whisper of the Holy Ghost, that dawning on the souls of men, so they're able to say, I see with the heart. Open my eyes. Teach me how to pray. Teach me what it means, Lord Jesus, to enter into the great privilege of your indwelling Spirit, teaching me how to pray, bringing me to the high priest, the great Lord Jesus, listening to him and interceding with him. Teach me, Lord. Teach the people, Lord, that we may enter in, Lord, and not make light of your great ascension promises and your great ascension ministry. In Jesus' name, amen. I would like to read one more portion of Scripture found in Luke chapter 24. You may turn there, please. Luke 24, 49. This speaks of our Lord's ascension after his resurrection. I'll begin with verse 45 in chapter 24. Then he, Jesus, opened their minds, the disciples, so they could understand the Scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, or the promise of my Father. But stay in the city, Jerusalem, until you have been clothed with power from on high. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. We have just read to you concerning the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. When he ascended with his glorified body, he ascended to a new position, high priest of the human race. He could not be that before his crucifixion and his resurrection and his ascension, because that's what he has planned for man to have happen to him. And until it happened to the Savior, it cannot happen to any human being. He ascended to a new position because humanity was bonded to the Trinity. Now, this is a marvelous thing, and I hope God will make it clear to our hearts. When he ascended, the glorified human Christ that he was, fully man, fully God, glorified humanity, bonded with the living Christ. When he returned to heaven, glorified human nature was bonded to the Trinity. And it is for that reason that we as humans, in touch with the human Jesus, by his indwelling spirit, have access to the Father. If you came to see the president of some company, and you have the receptionist, and you have a private secretary, and you have a vice president, and you have the president, and you're trying to work your way through all these people to get to him, you can't get there. Therefore, there is now one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. And because a man is in heaven, the man, Christ Jesus, there will be men in heaven. And because he's there now, we, by his Spirit in us, are bonded to Jesus, and Jesus is bonded to the Father, and we have access to the Father. And the only reason you and I can pray is because there's a man, Christ Jesus, bonded to the Trinity. And we say, Father, we ask that in Jesus' name, by your Spirit, you will thus and thus. He came to a whole new position. As high priest, he came to give human nature glorification. We got bonded to the Trinity, which is a mind-boggling thought in itself. Bonded to the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He came to human nature being glorified. This body is going to be glorified in a way we don't even know. Not this body, be a new body. It's not composed of particles of your dead body. There are people who've died. Men have been blown up in battlefields. You couldn't find any part of them. Your resurrection body does not necessitate any aspect of this body. You're not going to look for the ashes of your grave to be turned into something. There have been people falling in the oceans, been eaten by fishes. You're not going to find them, and it has nothing to do with the glorified body. You used to think it did, doesn't it? Nothing whatsoever. And something so marvelous is going to be prepared and is being prepared for us by the Lord Jesus that we cannot describe it. A new position, he came to a new kind of praying. Our Lord Jesus came to a new kind of praying. Look at Hebrews 5:7, please. Now, everything I'm saying to you is foundational. We're going to be moving into what we really are headed toward, but it's absolutely foundational. It's faith building. It gives us a place to put our feet down, understand why we can ask and receive from the Father. Now, our Lord Jesus prayed on earth. I'm in, want to be in Hebrews chapter 5. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers. Christ had a prayer life on earth. Christ had a prayer life before he came to earth. He was always in the bosom of the Father in an asking-receiving relationship in eternity, past. That this world was not created apart from the Father consulting with the Son. For it says in Genesis 1, let us make man. Let us make man. The Father is consulting with the Son, and by the Spirit it's accomplished. For the fellowship of the Father with the Son is in the Holy Spirit. And the Father and the Son always had an ask and giving relationship from eternity past. And the Father does nothing without consulting with the Son. Oh, my. For by him and to him and for him were all things created, Jesus. And the Father consults with the Son, not because he doesn't know, but because of the caring, loving relationship and a dependence of the Trinity, which nobody can comprehend, save the revelation is given to us and you just receive it. And we'll get to that later on. And now the Lord Jesus, who's always had an asking, giving relationship with the Father, comes down to earth and is smothered by voluntary choice with human nature. And that's not quite the word. But something had to happen. He emptied himself and took on human nature. He emptied himself of his privileges, his powers, and his prerogatives. Now he lives like a man on earth. He still has an asking, giving relationship with the Father. I thank thee, Father, thou dost always hear me. He stands before the grave of Lazarus and says, Lord, not for my sake, but for the sake of the people around here. I thank thee, O Father, that thou hast heard me and thou dost always hear me. Because I've had an asking, giving relationship with you before I ever came to earth. And now I'm exercising it as a man who perfectly understands you and you love me and I love you. And he went through that. Who in the days of his life on earth offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. It probably happened in Gethsemane when Satan tried to kill him, or more especially when the sins of the earth start to be put upon him and the Father starts to forsake him. And you read that portion in Gethsemane, it's some only once in the New Testament words in there of what happened to Jesus in Gethsemane as our sins began to be laid on him and the weight of it. People come to the office and the sins of one other person are almost destroying the other person. The sins of one person, and not all their sins, just usually one or two or three sins. My husband ran off with a woman last night. They're absolutely almost destroyed. Parents come in, they've raised a son and put education into him and taught him, and now he just got busted in a big drug bust, and they're going to put him away for 5 years for being a pusher. They're crushed. The sins of one person are one person. How would you like to carry the sins of just the sins committed in Omaha last night? One night, one town. Add London and Los Angeles and New York. Paris and Cairo. Then go back and add Babylon. Go back in all the cities of every human history that ever were recorded and lay that on Jesus. Who with strong crying and tears had emotions in his prayers. He had desperation in his prayers as a man, the God-man, but the man of him praying to the Father and asking, Lord, don't let me die here. This weight is too great. It's on the cross I'm going to die. Save me, Father. And he did. Jesus had a prayer life here on earth. But now he's ascended to a whole new prayer life. Great deal of difference. No more strong crying and tears in heaven. No more fasting before his praying as he did on earth. No more being limited to one spot. He prays in Jerusalem and heals a man. They said, oh, come to Bethany and heal over here. Come to Jericho and heal over here. Come to Cana of Galilee and heal over here. Come to see over here in Nazareth, Lord, and over to Capernaum. I can only be one place at one time. No, don't rush me. I can only do what the Father shows me. He walks into one town, heals the whole town. He leaves that town, goes to a porch full of sick people, heals one man, walks out. He does the Father's will. But he can only be in one place at one time. No longer is that limitation his. And whether you're in Toledo or Timbuktu, he's praying and can be with you. Now, he now ascends and says, all power and authority is given unto me. Wait a minute, didn't he have that before? Hey, he never said that till he went up. He had it in his deity before. He did not have it in his glorified humanity. He voluntarily placed himself under limitation and said, where have you laid him? He didn't have the information. He doesn't have to ask anybody any questions anymore. There's no more limitation. In his humanity, he confined himself by choice. Now he goes up, and his glorified humanity takes part with his deity, so he is without limitation in space or time. And now he's entered into this whole new prayer life of asking and receiving from the Father. Well, now, wait a minute. He had death from eternity past. That's correct. Well, how come he says, now I have this now? Because I'll tell you what, he had that before eternity, but you and I didn't. And he came down so that you and I, his being down here for us, as us, so that when he returns up as man, he did that for us so that you and I may have that kind of a prayer ministry with him. And that's why he came down here and is now to the Father's right hand, where he's in an asking, receiving relationship, and you're bonded in him by the Holy Ghost. He's bonded to the Father. And now we come to pray to the Father directly through the Son, who earned by his hard dying and by his glorious resurrection a place and the privilege in prayer. Asking bricks for our feet to stand on. Now, in the light of this introduction, the sermon in a sentence. Jesus is in an asking, receiving relationship with the Father. Now, the Lord Jesus has received many answers from the Father since his ascension. And remember now, he's entered that new relationship so you and I can have it. He had it before he ever came to earth. He has had added to it, I must add, he has had added to it the ministry and outreach and further outreach of having glorified humanity with him, which represents you and me and is you and me, so that now we as people that qualify as human beings bought by the blood may enter this with him, and it's going to be unfolding before us hopefully. Now, I want to share with you, we won't have time to go through the four. We have four, but we'll take them as we come. There are four answers recorded in the scriptures that we have that the Lord Jesus has received from the Father since his ascension. That's when he began his real prayer ministry. I repeat, that's when he began his real prayer ministry. And when you see yourself ascended with Christ, you begin yours. Not that you didn't pray before. Acts 2:33. If you'll turn there, please. The first answer the Lord Jesus received from the Father is the answer of receiving the promise of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:33, and we'll look at John 14:16 after that. Him or his being exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father, received from the Father, the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear. That's the very first thing the Lord Jesus asked for, was the promise of the person of the Holy Spirit that he could pour forth. That's the first thing he asked for that we know about. Now, one more text on that, John 14:16, please. I'll start with 13. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, King James, I will pray the Father, and I will ask the Father, and this is the night of the Last Supper now, before he goes to Gethsemane and then to his crucifixion. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will ask or pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter or counselor, another advocate, the Holy Spirit, to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you, but better things are coming, and will be in you. I will pray, and you will receive. And the first thing he prayed for and asked, Father, now that I'm ascended, now that I've glorified you and you've glorified me, now that you've given me a new body, now that you've brought me up and ascended in ascension to your right hand, and now that I've come into as the God-man, not just as God the Son, as the God-man, now that I've come in to this cosmic ministry of prayer, of asking and receiving, I'm asking, Father, first of all, that you will give me the gift of the person of the Holy Spirit, that I might pour him forth on all my people on earth. Jesus purchased it with his blood and received it by asking, and poured him forth upon his ascension. Now, I want you to see one of the most important things of this whole thing is that there was an immediacy. There was no lag time or lag space between the resurrected body of Jesus Christ in heaven and the reception of his spirit on earth. This immediately takes away Jesus way up there somewhere, me way down here somehow. There is an immediacy from the throne to our hearts. Zero lag time. Zero lag space. That's why the disciples never missed Jesus. Not for that long. Never missed him. The most loved and love-deserving person in the face of the earth was never missed. Maybe for that little 3 days. Never missed from that point on. Why should they miss him? How can you miss somebody that's there? Look, yesterday afternoon I, with others of you, had an immediacy of relationship and exposure and information with Tempe, Arizona through television. Immediacy. I mean, no lag time. What happened, we saw it when it happened. We didn't. There's no lag time. You know, you go to your thermostat in the house, you turn up the heat because it's cold, and my wife says, where's the heat? She says, honey, there's lag time. She thinks you do that, and out comes the blast furnace. It doesn't happen that way. Angels didn't make it. The gas has to kick on, it's got to heat up the bottom to a certain point, then that's got to get hot enough, then that's got to kick in, then the fan starts to have to kick, and when that kicks in, it'll start blowing it, then give it time to heat up the cold walls. There's lag time. I want to say again, a man goes to the moon, we turn on television, and we see immediacy. Here's a man off in the planet somewhere. Immediacy. And when Jesus Christ, by the Father, the very first thing he asked for and received was the gift of the person of the Holy Ghost, who is the Spirit of himself. And he poured him forth. And from that time on, there is an immediacy. There is no lag time. There is no lag space. There is no lag emptiness. He is here. Jesus is back by his Spirit and every one of his children. And that's the fellowship we have. That's why John said in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, and surely I write these things unto you, for our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. He was on earth when he wrote it. When the Spirit of God came into him and filled him with the Spirit of the Father and the Spirit of the Son, John said, oh yes, God? My God's here. There is no more of the Holy Spirit, there's no more of the Spirit of God in heaven than there is right here. You don't believe me, but it's true. There are more manifestations of God in heaven than there are here, but there's not more of the Holy Spirit in heaven than there is right here. You would be no closer to Jesus Christ in heaven than you are right now. Mileage-wise. When he poured forth his Spirit, immediately Christ by his Spirit was cosmically present everywhere now. May not have known it. We may be like Jacob, who fled home because his brother turned into a hitman and was going to get him before sundown. And that'll make a man travel and not look for AAA accommodations either. And he didn't care. Any rock looked like a good pillow to him, so he put a rock under his head, began to pray, oh God, keep me from my brother, you know, and fell asleep and had a vision of angels. And he woke up and said, I knew not that God was in this place. He was there before he got there. He was there before he went to sleep. He was there while he was asleep. And he was there after he woke up. He was there after he left. And you, dear children of God, and I'm one with you, I keep asking, Lord Jesus, reveal increasingly to me that thou hast sent thy Spirit. I don't feel with the Holy Ghost. That means I'm filled with the Spirit of Jesus. That means there's immediacy. There's no lag time. That right now, here in you, and you may go to your gymnasium tomorrow. You may go to the spa. You may go to the supermarket. I want you to write letters over it before you walk in. God is in this place. And when you go to homeroom tomorrow, and when you go to your salesman's route, and whatever you go to, God is in this place. How could he be otherwise? Christ has sent down his Spirit in you. And the immediacy of his presence is here. No lag time between you and the throne of God. Jesus in his resurrected body is there. He's right here by his Spirit. His disciples never missed him. Christ receiving the promise of the Holy Spirit. And just as he wanted and had into his body given by the Father all that resurrection life, just as his body received resurrection life, he came out. So Jesus ascended to the Father's right hand and said, Father, I thank thee, you have given me a people. They are my body on earth. And therefore, Father, as you have poured your resurrection life into me while I was a corpse and a dead body, now, Father, I take and receive from you the gift of the person of the Holy Ghost, that who is also my Spirit, and I will flood every member of my body with myself as you flooded my resurrection body with life. I take that same Spirit and I flood every member of my body, make him available to fill every one of my members on earth, that they will have the actual presence of my life in them right now. Those of you who are timid about being filled with the Spirit of Christ, he's purchased this. He's praying for you to be filled. He's obtained the promise of the Spirit by his agonizing death and glorious resurrection, and by his all-accomplishing ascension, and by his being seated by the Father's right hand. He's asked and received this wonderful gift, the gift of his own life, the gift of his own Spirit, the person of the Holy Ghost, and poured him forth. And for those who are hungry on earth, they received him. And I'm saying you're going to have an emotional experience. I'll say you'll have a knowing experience. Dear child of God that's timid, Jesus has purchased this for you. Jesus has prayed that you be filled. Jesus is praying now in this hour by the Father's right hand for you. You, by name, not by social security number, by name. The Spirit in the body is all through the body. Fill me with thyself. And Christ is fleshed out in your human body. Jesus is back. Not to one spot. Jesus is back. And you, being members of his body, receive the same life that the body has. All right? Now, all this is going to end up in prayer, but receive this because this is what he's praying for you. Those of you who have been indifferent, those of you who have been saved many years and you've fluffed off and faked off this thing about being filled with the Spirit, you've excused yourself, you're busy in a whole bunch of things that won't amount to a hill of beans. Don't you frustrate the prayers of the High Priest Jesus. This will come as a rebuke to you that Christ has been praying years for you to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And you haven't given him the same time that you'll give the sport page to read over the big red victory over the sun devils tomorrow, and you'll give the devil another victory. No wonder you're not filled with the Holy Ghost. You're filled with the sport page. And I read the sport page. It's the truth. And if you want to grieve the blessed Holy Priest of God in heaven and become indifferent about it, he poured out his blood for you. And you're saying, sorry, Jesus, I don't have time. You better make time. Because this is not just to give you a thrill in your soul somewhere. This is the life of Christ can be fleshed out in you again on earth. And you get caught up with your fashions and your craft work and everything else and making the house look doodad and into your weight loss program and run down the spa and everything else, and you haven't given Jesus Christ that much time concerning being filled with his Spirit. And yet you watch that baby get sick, and you're going to be right back to what I'm talking about. Oh, Jesus, you're going right to prayer, right? You're going right back to the high priest to do for you what you don't have time to give him during the week. Forget it. You wouldn't use your neighbor that way. It's the truth. Because you have to see your neighbor, and you don't want to be embarrassed. So it's a source of encouragement to those who are timid. It's a rebuke to those who are carnal and indifferent today. And I know what that feels like. You don't think I can get carnal? I can be backslidden in 3 days. You know what backslidden is? Backslidden isn't out chasing some woman somewhere. backslidden is I got earthly priorities that are pressing Jesus out of his rightful spot and time in my life. The first thing Jesus asked for, very first thing, was the promise of the Holy Ghost, which was his life in the person of the Spirit, so that he could send his life back down into you. Eventually you're going to see he's doing that so you can pray. I drive down Dodge Street, I see little shrines. Apparently somebody wants someone to pray for them. That's what they do. People call it, please pray for me. Come to the altar, please pray for me. We're glad to. I mean, this is big stuff, folks. You see, don't think it's just something academic that Murdoch has to talk about on Sunday morning. You tell me the next time something happens to you, or before that, you should be prayers of praise. I'm not talking about that. But, you know, the first thing we do is, Lord, help me. Lord, my baby. Lord, the job. Lord, the kids. Lord, this. Lord, well, that's prayer, isn't it? Of course. I'm showing you the foundation for it. I'm showing you the foundation for asking and receiving from the Father like the Son does, because you've been bonded to the Son by the Holy Ghost, and he's bonded to the Father by the Holy Spirit, and now the flow-through is to come so that our asking and receiving is as the Son's. And you're going to find out how to ask and receive from the Father. Now, I want to be flat honest with you. I always want to be. I, like you, face priority choices. When I say yes to something, I've said no to four other things automatically. If I'm going to choose to get to know God like this, I have to choose to do it. When I choose to do it, that means I have to eliminate something else from my life. And I'm not talking sin, I'm talking about priority of things that come next. And I'm going to be flat honest with you. We have no quick fixes here. And by that, I don't mean that we can't pray and there be a deliverance or healing bestowed. And that's okay, we want that from the Lord. But there's nothing you can do at this altar that's going to so change you that without obedience, you can just go on the rest of your life and think it's going to be on a high level. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. We have prayer. God has done some miracles at these altars. I rejoice and we'll take all that we can. But I don't want to be in your mind this concept, well, it's like taking a picture. Boom, boom. Taken once, don't have to worry about pictures anymore. You go through your family album. Here was little Timmy when he was 18 months. And here was little Timmy when he was 2 and a half. And here was Timmy when he was 4. And here was Timmy at his birthday party. And here was Timmy when he was 9. Here was Timmy all the way up through. He's in college. He's graduated. And here he is. It's the same with the Christian life. Look, we're into a living relationship. And there's no experience I can have with God, none, that releases me from the joy and obligation of priority choices to maintain that relationship. And you have to decide whether it's worth it. I have to decide. And it's a joy to know that I'm choosing that which is forever. Hey, I got grass to mow. I got to get the baby's pool for the grandkids put up in the attic this afternoon. My wife said, when are you going to get it? It's been there for 5 days. I said, yeah, I know. It was drying out and it rained again. I'll get it this afternoon. You know, and that's right. And I got to put plates on the car and I got to sweep out the garage and I got that like you. And God knows that. No problem. She said, well, I don't have time like you. That might be debatable. That might be debatable. Let me give you some good news. You're a mother with 3 kids, and you're just bogged down. Oh, Pastor, that what you said was so wonderful. I'm never going to be able to get that done. Oh, yeah, you can. The revelation comes to you, begin where you are. Let me tell you, God knows how much time is yours to call your own. 3 kids is a full-time job, period, let alone a house and a husband. And you see, he prorates it. If you've got that much time to call your own, that's all yours. God accounts that as much time as you got as if this person's got 4 hours to call their own. Or 7 hours, or whatever hours. And so he takes you where you are, and he gives a revelation. And I want you to see, you see, what I'm talking about is that you're not going to have to do something to attain to what I'm saying, but by the blood of Christ and revelation, you don't attain it, you have obtained it. And you say, Lord Jesus, open my eyes to see what he's talking about. I love you. I want to know that I'm in you so that I can begin to pray like you prayed, because you're not only praying in heaven for me, you've sent your Spirit down to be in me. Therefore, I'm praying with you when I pray. And then, Lord, I'm going to see that you're praying through me. And I'll be asking the Father, just like you asked the Father, and on the same level when I have the mind of Christ, so it's going to get done. Now listen, if anyone in this congregation feels they no longer need prayer, that prayer is not really important, it's something only before meals, and to be said at family gatherings once a year, then obviously what I'm talking about has no meaning to you. But if you are of those who feel that the most wonderful thing in the world, as we're going to see, is that we have this now present relationship with the mediating Christ who's praying in heaven, he spends all his time occupied with receiving from the Father by asking that which he purchased on the cross to give you, that you may enter that asking, giving to bring glory to his name. We'll follow that out later. But you see, I'm laying the foundation. You have that privilege. It's a perfect privilege you've been given, a purchased privilege. And the first thing that Jesus asked for, the very first thing after his glorious march of victory and triumph through death and hell and Satan and sin, he burst into the Father's presence. Do you know the scripture on that? I close with this. Turn to Psalm 24. Psalm of David. And I'll leave you with the ascension and our Lord's wonderful entrance. Psalm 24, David starts off. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Then he lifts his eyes up a little bit higher. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? When you go to Jerusalem, Mount Zion is the high point where the temple was in our Lord's day. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place, the temple? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to vanity or to an idol, or swear by what is false. He will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God his Savior. Such is the generation spiritual of those who seek him and who seek your face, O God of Jacob. And then comes the revelation. And right about here, he's going to lift up his eyes to the true holy hill, which is heaven. And here the Son of God coming back from his vicious combat with Satan and hell and damnation and man's rotten humanity and our sins, yours and mine. He's broken on through. He's ascended. He's raised up. Now he's coming to the very gates of heaven. And by revelation, I can see angels, great, immense, innumerable choirs of angels speaking antiphonally back and forth to one another, asking and receiving answers. As our Lord Jesus comes up to the very gates of heaven, the angels cry out, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates of heaven! And be ye lifted up, you everlasting doors, that the King of glory may come in." And another group cries back and says, "Who is the King of glory?" And another group cries back, "The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle." And another group cries out, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, lift them up, your everlasting doors, that the King of glory may come in." And another group cries out, angelic, innumerable, glorified angels saying, "Who is he? This King of glory." And the other group echoes back in an eternal thunder of praise. "The Lord Almighty, he." Our Heavenly Father, how wonderfully, how beautifully, how gorgeously, Lord, you've opened to us through your Son's wounded side this intimate, non-lag immediacy to you through Jesus by the Holy Ghost. Lord, we want prayer to be our breath, prayer to be the chief exponent of our lives. First on our knees in times of appointed prayer, and secondly, as a climate in which we live. For thou hast taken up thy residence within us, great high priest, so that from within our spirits you are always interceding to the Father on our behalf. We don't make it up. It's just there. He is there. And Lord, we have offended you many times by not heeding the call of the priest within us, the great high priestly Jesus, by his Spirit nudging us, calling us, making us empty and yearning to come to you. We want to cherish holy impulses. Until, O Lord, prayer is the chief component, the chief attribute of our lives, out of which flows preaching, teaching, living, hospitality, healing, all the rest. That we simply, O Lord Jesus, having been with you in meditation and prayer and joy, let you live out, whether we go to be a mechanic or an athlete or a lawyer or a teacher or a student or a housewife. Precious Jesus, we know this is the secret, which is an open secret to all who enter. Speak to my heart, Lord, this week, as I make my priority choices so that I have time with you, because it's so precious. It's so worth it for your glory and for the people, that they may be the receivers and the benefactors of all that you would share. Teach them, Lord. Give them a hunger for you. May they respond. That any who have not been filled with the Holy Ghost and have done indifference to the great High Priest Jesus, repent of it this morning. Lord, there's enough truth around this place to get filled with the Holy Ghost before sundown if they want to. They'd be filled today if they're hungry enough. Lord, we'll die for not lack of truth, but for dry rot, charismatic indifference. But we set our eyes, Lord, on you, because all the good news is in you. Every promise is yes and amen. And whereas you chase us at one side, you welcome us on the other, so that all may come. Lord, if some should repent today of their prayer life, absolutely almost non-existent prayer life, then they can be forgiven. And better than that, their eyes can be opened to see that the great prayer, Jesus, by his Spirit, is in them to pray. Oh, how wonderful. How wonderful. How wonderful. Open my eyes, Jesus. By your Spirit, open my eyes to see this increasingly, that we may outlive from that flow and that person. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Zero lag, zero distance, for you are here. Shall we stand for prayer? Those of you who desire prayer or need, those of you who need to confess or repent, the altars are open. The elders, please don't forget, come and get your tape. I want you to have it. It's of a necessity. We're going to sing in closing, He is Lord once. And if you need to come, you come. Lord Jesus, we plead your magnificent life and blood over the congregation. Thank you, Jesus. You've been praying for people today. Thank you, Jesus. You've been praying for this service. And for we do believe for a spiritual insight to be given. And now, for response to that, Lord. Maybe some have to rush home, but when they put the baby down this afternoon, let them wait on you with joy and thanksgiving. Lord, we bless you. May people respond to your truth. In Jesus' name, for you indeed, our Lord. For he is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that he bless thee and keep thee. Lord, cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord Jesus, the great high priest, ever living to intercede by the Father's right hand, ever living to intercede within us, for us, through us. We receive thee, Lord Jesus. We bless thee. Open our eyes to see thee, not only as Lord and Savior, but as the great intercessor, living within by the Spirit. That we may just take your life, Lord, and our prayer life is there. In thee, we bless you for it. Encourage every heart with obedience. And God's people said, amen. See you tonight at 6. Bring your Bibles and bring your pencil.